How often do we really stop and look at or listen to the natural world on our doorsteps? No matter where we live in the world, non-human life is quietly going on around us, whether we take the time to notice it or not. And so this week, we have another naturally connected installment on Living Planet for you. It's by Tamsin Walker in Berlin, and it's about a species that you generally hear before you see them. And when you do get to see them, it's quite fascinating to watch them labour away with their beaks. Enough clues. Time for Tamsin's take on this master carpenter of the bird world.
For the longest time, the only woodpecker I'd ever knowingly heard was Woody. You know the one. And it wasn't the sound of his beak striking wood that stuck in my mind, but the hearty chuckle he spluttered out in celebration of his copious slapstick-style victories. Maybe on some level, that cartoon made his kin seem like they could only ever be fictitious, because I never heard them outside the confines of the television. Or maybe I just hadn't yet tuned in to the living, breathing woodpecker wavelength, because once the sound of a real-life specimen hammering at a distant tree did finally make it to my ears, it seemed to unleash something that had always been there. Within days, I'd heard another, and then another, and another, until I started to hear them everywhere. As if building up to some grand crescendo, I now hear them almost every time I leave my building, and very often while I'm still in it. Yet despite the drumming loud enough to cut through Berlin's traffic, I very rarely caught a glimpse of the birds at work. It's partly this visual elusiveness that keeps me tuned in, waiting to see a flash of green or red, black and white, but it's also their carpentry skills that captivate me. Even armed with a knife, I doubt I could carve a perfectly round hole in a thick tree trunk, whereas they, these tiny creatures, perform circular feats of natural engineering with nothing but their beaks, clinging vertically to the wood as they do so. But there's also a perception issue here. Am I really just hearing more of them because I'm focusing on them? Or are there actually more of them about than was once the case?
Modern agriculture doesn't allow any insects and ants. So just having corn or having energy plants means you have a very poor variety of plants. And that is bad for the insects. So the city of Berlin is a very richly structured area with lots of different habitats and territories. So lots of birds found out that it's much better to live in a city in Berlin than to be outside in the landscape.
You might remember Matthias Janke as the man who introduced me to some of the shadier characteristics of crows in an earlier episode. I've come to meet him at the ruins of a village that once stood on the far side of Berlin's outer bounds. Its location meant it was on land that became automatically absorbed into the German Democratic Republic, also known as East Germany, following the end of World War II. As the subsequent Cold War progressed, the resident regime deemed the little village in the east too close for comfort to its western foes, so moved the locals out and knocked down almost all the buildings. Over time, the area has been repopulated by shrubs and trees, mostly birch. The foundations of houses where families once came together have been covered in velvety layers of luminous green moss and carpets of rotting leaves, earth and foliage, while the forest itself has replaced the walls once fashioned from bricks and mortar. Matthias is a regular visitor. As a keen birdwatcher, he's in his element in this natural village where fragments of the past invite the imagination to paint its own pictures of lives once lived here.
It's also a real reminder, though, isn't it, that
yes.
that nature just does.
Mm-hmm.
It just
comes back.
Yeah.
Fortunately, does. If we give it a chance, then things can turn into into nature again.
Among the nature that has laid claim to this now wild spot are woodpeckers. First, we hear them drumming somewhere in the distance, which I learn they don't just do to create noise. Though this is part of it, because the louder they peck, the more likely they are to be heard by potential mates. They also do it, though, to extract insects from trees, to mark their territory, and as a means of testing trunks and branches for their suitability as a potential home. The wood has to be soft enough on the inside to dig into and hollow out for space to create a little cave. And it's the male that chooses a site for this cave-like nest.
They say, here I am. If there is a female outside, just give me a call. And no other male should get around.
Does that mean that they find their tree and then they stay there?
They build a nest? Sometimes they have two. Sometimes they offer the different caves and say, would you like this one?
Second floor.
My eyes are on alert, hoping to catch a sight of one of these creatures that rely on the strength of their beaks for food, accommodation, territory, and ultimately reproduction. These birds that can drum on the surface of a tree as often as 12,000 times a day without damaging their brains. These birds that have a long, sticky tongue that unfurls to enable them to get to insects hiding in faraway places. These birds whose meticulously crafted nests, once abandoned, serve as homes for other birds and smaller animals such as squirrels. And as if reading my mind, a pair flies into view.
Oh, there's two woodpeckers.
There's two of them. So they are already a couple, I would say. The male has got a red cap, and the female has got a black head. But if they are so peaceful together, then they are looking for food together.
There's something magical about seeing them, even just for the instant they stay within my range of vision. These grated spotted woodpeckers going about their business. I might not know much about bird behaviour, but they clearly, visibly, seem harmonious. Their wooded bliss, however, is not shared by all the woodpeckers in the forest. Far from it, for there are clearly battles to be fought and won in the name of a mate.
Is that woodpeckers?
They're the woodpeckers, yeah. That's the call that they do. It's two of them. And this is another one, so this is an area full of great spotted woodpeckers. Oh, there's three of them. Okay, so there's a fourth one. It's about territory now. He's showing him the way out. You are not welcome here. Get out here.
They disperse in all directions, flying faster than my eyes can follow. And it strikes me that they are, of course, completely oblivious to me and my interest in them. They're not out looking for humans to lift their bird souls. They don't need to go in search of wildlife to sustain or rekindle a relationship to the world around them. For they live entirely within its natural rhythms. They literally drum to its beat. And that is as fascinating as it is humbling. It's also a gentle reminder of the incredible ways the world is always in movement, whether we're watching or not. And I'm not the only one who sees it this way.
For me, it's very important to spend as much time as I can afford out in what we call nature. For me, it is a source of, yes, of joy. I'm amazed by the beauty of the birds, of the beauty of their songs, of the skills they have. I'm amazed about what these little animals are able to do. And it's just like walking through a gallery and seeing artifacts. So it's just good for the soul, I think, not just to look at all the things that are going wrong, but to enjoy these creatures, these beings among us, and how simple they live. I'm sure it's not comfortable to sit in a tree while it is raining, and they get up in the morning and they sing a beautiful song. Oh. Yeah, sometimes I think this simple kind of life is attractive compared to us running through the town and trying to have all these things together get all the things done we need to.
That thought stays with me. And days later, when long before dawn I hear a woodpecker hammering somewhere in the distance beyond my window, I head out to see if I can find it. I can't, of course, but under the shelter of a tree, I find a quiet space to just sit. As the sun creeps up over the horizon, I close my eyes and listen. The sounds are phenomenal. Punctuated by the occasional drumming of a woodpecker or even honking of a wild goose, blue tits, goldfinches, crows, magpies, pigeons, and countless other birds I can't begin to identify, sing their hearts out, filling the skies with what can only be described as beautiful music. On that morning, I listen as deeply as I can, and doing so fills me with a no-strings-attached feeling of happiness, more even. Genuine joy at simply being here and slipping into a pocket of time to share in the experience of the world around me, the world of which we are all a part. And as Woody Woodpecker would say, that's all, folks.
This episode of Living Planet was produced by Tamsin Walker and edited by me, Neil King. Our sound engineer was Gert Georgi. If you liked this episode and would like to hear more installments like this, just look for Naturally Connected in the Living Planet podcast feed. We produced several of these over the course of 2024, and they're all well worth a listen, especially if you're looking for some fun environment content to unwind and learn something new at the same time. That's it for now. Thanks for listening and for sharing Living Planet. My name is Neil King. Bye for now.
In 1986, I was flying for the Navy, and the biggest threat to U.S. national security was the evil empire. These days, though, there's another threat out there, climate change. I'm Kai Rizdahl, and on How We Survive, we go to the front lines where climate change meets national security and discover how the U.S. military is shaping our climate future. Listen to How We Survive wherever you get your podcasts.